Triple M Footy lives on Listener, thanks to McDonald's and Ream Hot Water.
Here we go, Monday Scrum once again. Adam Peacock alongside hard-working journalist Brent Reed. How are you, Reedy?
Good, mate. Yeah, great to be here.
Yeah. Oh, that's a quick answer. That great means you're here. A busy Monday guy.
Lots on.
Lots on. You're 360 tonight, don't you?
I've got to fill in for Buzz. He's got the black lung. You know that one? Oh, bit of Zoolander action.
You're feeling really bad for him, by the sounds of things.
Oh, he'll survive.
All the things you're writing for the paper.
Have a look at him. Fair dinkum.
Yeah. And James Graham, Jimmy, how are you, mate?
Yeah, I'm going very well, obviously. Juggled the schedule around Reedy's commitments that subsequently were cancelled. I wanted to revert back to the original time, but you know, it's Reedy's world. We just happen to live in it. So,
exactly.
Jimmy, I had to get public transport today because of my commitments.
What's wrong with that?
I never get public transport.
Why?
I don't know. Although it is nice catching the ferry, isn't it, Adam, from the Northern Beaches?
Never get the ferry. I get the bus.
Do you?
Yeah.
I always get the ferry if I can.
The beeline.
Mm. No, I get the train in sometimes.
Do you?
Yeah.
You got, do you need...
Do people annoying you on the train?
No, he spoke of this last year.
Yeah, I have had people, not annoying me, ask questions. And the reason I genuinely catch the train is to do work. So the dead time of driving in the car, listening to a podcast. But if you actually got things to do, being on the train comes in handy. A few emails, some preparation.
That's why I like the ferry, Jimmy. The ferry's the same. You can sit down, do a bit of work.
But you were just complaining about it.
No, I didn't complain. I just said I got public transport today. I don't often get it.
You said it in a way that sort of
suggested I wasn't
suggest
happy
that
about
you're
it.
Too good for public transport. And you know, just think
me.
About our
Little
listeners.
Battler from Goodna.
Think about some of our listeners that will be catching the train, the bus, or the ferry whilst listening
to
this.
Well, the guys on the ferry and the girls, they're very lucky. It's a great way to get to work.
It is.
It takes a bit long, but anyway.
Now, tell you who could do with a bit of clear thinking time at the moment, it appears, is Jason Demetriou in South Sydney. So overall, we'll get to the coach JD in a moment, but what's your gut feel about, and Reedy, you know as a journalist, experienced journalist, when things aren't right at a joint, when things start leaking or kind of murmurs about unrest, do you get that sense about 0-2 South Sydney right now?
It does feel like it's at a tipping point, that this Friday night when they play the Roosters, their arch enemies, if they lose, things could go really pear-shaped. It just feels like they're on the teetering on the brink a little bit at the moment. I don't know whether you get that feeling, Jimmy. That's the feeling I get.
Yeah, look, I guess externally that's how it is presenting itself. You know, South Sydney are constantly in the headlines. Their players are constantly in the headlines. So it's difficult to avoid, and results haven't gone their way. In terms of how they've started the season with the games that they were presented with, that's a difficult start.
But the issue stretches back to last year, right?
It does.
I don't, it's two different years, right? And you can separate them, but at the same time, you can't. Like, it's four, I think it's four of the last 15, maybe they've won.
Since the halfway point of last year. Around 11 when they led.
And there's just so much going on. You know, you've had Latrell in news all week. Now Lachlan Elias gets dropped.
So he's dropped.
He's dropped, yeah. There's a lot happening.
There is a lot happening. But this is all part of the NRL roller coaster. It's all part of being a head coach. It's all part of being one of the most famous clubs in the NRL and throughout Australia for any code. So South Sydney are always going to attract headlines, and they're under pressure. And the only thing that they can do to quieten down the noise and just turn the dial down on the pressure gauge is to go and win games of football.
Not helping is the timing of a release from noted media mogul James Graham and his podcast, Buy Around, with Josh Mansour. And I found it fascinating how he explained that. Well done on the interview, and that the answer from Josh, because as fans, you don't get this. You don't know. And this probably happens a lot, or more often than people realise, about a lack of symmetry between player and coach, especially when player is not getting selected, and the reasons why. And Josh has delved into these reasons about his breakdown of his relationship with Jason. Firstly, were you sitting there as a former player, now journalist, welcome to the club, thinking, oh, this sounds weird, or, yeah, I can understand where Josh is coming from because this does happen?
A little bit of both, to be honest. Obviously, the timing was fortunate for the bye round. We interviewed Josh not knowing that that was coming and not knowing that South Sydney were going to lose this weekend and the pressure really dial up. I think, you know, speaking to Josh, I know what it's like to have your players head on where you feel like you're being mistreated. And then, but also, and I have been in positions myself where, let's just say, I wasn't told the truth.
Mm.
Or I was part of a greater game within the game. And I very much felt disgruntled, I guess, you know, in reflection. I've not spoke to those people, but I'm going to guess that they would have their justifications for why they would hold that position. But it is unfortunate that this is the reality of sport, that sometimes you don't get the treatment that you feel like you deserve. And look, I think with what Josh achieved in the game, he deserves to be treated better than that. But I'm sure, you know, if it's probably not worth Jason Demetriou's time now to go over that or him to be quizzed about that. He's got certainly bigger fish to fry than, you know, the exit of Josh Mansour over, what, 2 years ago.
But does it make a quote on, you know, for instance, your mob, the Daily Telegraph today, Rudy?
Well, I think it becomes more prevalent given the circumstances that we're going through now with Lachie Ilias. Because if you look at Lachie Ilias over the past 12 months, there's been a lot of pressure on him.
Hmm.
And Jason Demetriou's publicly backed him over and over and over again. Said he'd be a great long-term half for the club last year, basically insinuated he would be a better player or have a career like Adam Reynolds or maybe exceed Adam Reynolds. He's backed him in the off-season. You know, Lachlan Ilias got off social media and focused on his footy. And then two rounds into the new competition, you get rid of him. It feels like there's, at least from external viewpoint, there's mixed messages. And, you know, it's hard enough. We saw Josh Mansour when he was getting mixed messages, how he handled that. If Lachlan Ilias is getting similar mixed messages as a, what, 22-year-old? Or, you know, two, three years into his first great career, I can only imagine what that's doing to him mentally and how he struggles to handle that. So that's, the timing is, it's impeccable from Jimmy, impeccable for Charlie and the boys in the bye round.
Oh, it's a fill up for them.
Shocking for JD because, as I said, it's there's this perception that maybe, and again, it's just a perception. I don't know the inner workings of the club, but I look at it and it looks like he's lost control. Well, and when you lose control as a coach,
trouble.
You're in trouble, yeah.
Well, for me, the decision to drop Lachlan Ilias seems harsh. It seems unfair. I think South's issues are defensive. There's some issues through the middle of the field, and then I think on further out wide than where the halfback would stand in the centre and wing position. So for me, points isn't their issue. 24 against Manly and 18 against the Broncos in Brisbane. Like, if you're going to beat Brisbane at home, then if you score 18, that should be enough. You should be able to. You're going to have Brisbane score less than three tries.
Yeah.
To beat them. I think as well, if you look at this, their spine players, Mitchell, Walker, Ilias and Cook, for Ilias to be the fall guy, it seems harsh. I don't know. I've not watched their game with a fine-tooth comb to go, well, are there defensive issues in and around Lachlan Ilias? No half is perfect, but I thought if they are going to make this change, whether it not to be find a home for Jack White and move Walker to seven, but what's being reported is that Dean Hawkins will come in. So I don't know if that is the answer to South's defensive issues, where if you put Whiten, who's a bigger body, in there, Walker stays on the same side defensively, and then Whiten comes in on that other side. If there are defensive issues in that area where Lachlan Ilias was playing, you would say, well, let's put Jack Whiten there, the bigger body, you know, very much a strong defensive-minded player. So you fix that up there. But if that swap is for Hawkins, then I don't know if you solve the issues at hand.
With, interesting, I read an article, really good deep dive into Sammy Walker on the weekend about what Trent Robinson, the method to his madness last year by saying, no, go away. We want him to learn the rooster way. And it was...
God, I hate that. Yeah, Rooster Way, whatever Dragon Way.
Well, the Rooster Way at Four Pines Park yesterday, yeah, really wasn't a winning way, was it, eh? Hard. We'll get into that a bit later on.
They've all stolen it from overseas, yeah, right?
Anyway, and they wanted him to go away and work on an defensive mindset,
yeah,
especially, and Sammy trying to put on some weight on a pretty light frame, and he went away and did it, and he looks like he's come back pretty well. Yeah. Whether or not it's enough for great success for the Roosters remains to be seen. Is this part of the method in the madness of Jason Demetriou with Ilias, just to take him out of the fire maybe for a couple of weeks and go and learn some things away from the bright lights?
Well, I think it is to an extent. It's to rebuild his confidence a bit. Lucky didn't have a great game last week. I mean, that's you could see that. I think he had three errors, but the week before, Cody had a handful of errors as well. Now, Cody's obviously earned the right to be a first grader for longer than Lachlan Ilias. So I'm sure that part of the method to this is go back, own New South Wales Cup, dominate there, and he'll be back. I mean, he'll be back at some point. But, you know, if you bring in Hawkins for him, what's the upside there?
Well, obviously, with Lachlan Ilias as well, like, he pulled off one of the greatest try saves you're ever likely to see.
Yeah, round one, yeah.
In round one against Jason Sarblick. Motored him down, yeah. Like that's incredible stuff. I think he's been through this before. He's been the four guy before. I remember a game against the Dragons where Lachlan Ilias was substituted after about 30 minutes, and now I think Jason Demetriou said that was around the defensive issues. But again, you bring in Hawkins in a big game against the Roosters. I just don't know if you'd be better sticking with what you know versus throwing Hawkins in at the deep end. I'd be gobsmacked if that's how they go and they don't look to put Jack Whiten in there and address what must be defensive issues in and around the halfback area.
The only issue with Jack is, and this is neither here nor there for me, but this is one of the reasons they're saying they won't put him in the halves. He's trained the whole preseason at centre now. I mean, Jack could handle moving in the halves. He's played there before, right? The other thing I would say is he'll play left side, right, which means he'll mark up against Joey Manu. Maybe they think having Jack against Joey Manu is a better option than whoever else they put in there.
Mm.
Maybe. I don't know.
I know what you're saying, but obviously this change in with Ilias being dropped, that sort of is a surprise. If he was staying there and they were going to go with the same team. Yeah, you put Jack Whiten on Joey Manu and look to negate that. But for Ilias to be dropped, it's clear that that's what they'll do. Like I say, I'd be gobsmacked if Hawkins takes the reins.
And another layer to all of this is the now infamous interview that Latrell gave to Dobbo on, was it? Thursday night.
Thursday night.
Yeah, I mix up Thursday and Friday. But Thursday night, the latest on this is that there's going to be no rap over the knuckles officially from the NRL.
No, but they want to speak to him.
To Latrell or to Dobbo?
The NRL want to speak to Latrell. Jeez, you gave Dobbo a hard time yesterday.
Well, because...
It was a bit harsh, I thought.
Well, because he was smiling.
Was he?
So if we're talking and you smile, you think, I would look at some cues and say, oh, well, this person thinks that what I'm doing is okay. So I fundamentally put all the blame on Dobbin. Ben Dobbin.
the whole thing is his fault.
Andrew Abdo wants to meet with Latrell and have a chat with him. But he's not going to be sanctioned by the sounds of it.
I reckon that's the right way to go about it because just what happened with the Spencer Lenu.
Yeah, it was a big week emotionally for him. Yeah,
emotionally, there's obviously some underlying issues there. Yeah. So instead of going there and hammer him and then slap him with a $5,000 fine and say, do better, and then walk away, what's that going to solve?
The only thing I would say is there's a perception that Latrell gets treated with kid gloves a little bit.
Yeah.
And this probably is another example of that. So that's what I'm sure the critics will say of this decision. Mm. I don't have any great issue with it. I think it was silly by Latrell. I don't think it was a smart thing to do, but I don't think it necessarily deserves a fine or a ban or anything like that. I think a quiet word with him is probably, well, not even a quiet word, a strong word with him saying, mate, don't do it again. Otherwise, we will fine you. That's probably the way to go.
I think there's only one question that needs to be asked from man to man, face to face, is why'd you do that?
Yeah.
Like, what? Why do you feel the need to? Because that it seemed like abnormal.
It seemed like a boil over. It seemed like it come from a man who's under a lot of pressure and is incredibly frustrated by the situation, and he's just
unloaded,
had enough,
vented,
and vented. Yes, and is that the correct way to do it? Look, when we all sit here in a room, we know it's not, but we know sport's emotional, and we know Luttrell is one of the top players in the game. That his passion and emotion gets him to some fantastic places, but it also can come at a cost at times. And I've been that person before. And, you know, again, you act on the field and you say things and you have actions that when you sit down after, you think, who was that?
Oh, really?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. And I'm sure Luttrell would like his time over again. But
did you ever turn down an interview because you knew you were too emotional?
You turned down loads of interviews back in the day, Jimmy.
Did I?
Yeah, you did.
With Triple M?
Yeah, just in
and
general.
Brent Reed.
You weren't always the... You weren't always,
no, I
you
think I was always the, pretty receptive to...
Yeah, towards the end of your career. Yeah. You can be a bit grumpy at times.
No, I don't know. Well, I had to sit in all the press conferences.
Yes.
So I knew I was already going to have to speak, so...
Yeah, don't
I was,
be captain.
Save my way. Even though Dez would just
take over.
So
he's still pulling the same tricks, Dez. Can you speak up? Starts every interview. Can you speak up? The bloke on the Trevi Main in the Gold Coast was screaming at him a week ago, and Dez kept saying, can you speak up? If he does that to me this year, I'm going to say to him, Dez, you need hearing aids, brother. Can I ask you something about Lachlan Ilias, right? So he's in a team full of big personalities, like huge personalities. Cody, Luttrell, now Jack's going to be there. Well, he obviously won't be there with Jack, but Damien Cook. Like, can you, what's the right way to handle that when you're a kid like that?
You know what, Reed? That's a difficult one because you look at traditionally and stereotypically how a number seven, a scrum half is supposed to play. You're supposed to be demanding of your players around that around you. You're supposed to be the coach on the field, the orchestra of the band, have people call the plays. You're the quarterback style of play. But obviously with South, it's a little bit different because obviously you've got the threat of Cook. Fundamentally, Walker is the dominant ball player playing in the 5-8 position, which is different to, I guess, how most teams would play. Even if you look at, say a Melbourne Storm, for instance, that have got Cameron Munster, arguably the best six in the competition, he would have overcalls. But we know Hughes is the organizer, and maybe that's part of it. Maybe Ilias needs to come out of his shell a little bit and start to own the team. But it is so difficult when you've got just such strong, demanding characters, and also people that. If you look at South Sydney, they look like they play for points all the time.
Yeah.
Very seldom do they look to want to play the long game and be patient and disciplined with their attack. They get half an opportunity sometimes and throw the pass when, you know, again, we sit here in a room and they would sit in the video room and go, well, we probably don't need that at this moment. We probably need the ball to go to Ilias, get to the end of the set and find a kick. Put it to corners, build pressure, but selves that they've had this attitude for a while where we're not going to worry because it's okay if we make mistakes, we'll just attack and throw some more at us.
The gunslingers.
I guess so. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it'd be hard for Ilias to play how he's told to play.
Yes.
I.e. be the organizer and have to deal with those strong influences.
It would be hard for any young halfback.
Oh, yes.
So it's going to be hard for Hawkins to do that. What's the answer? Go and get an experienced halfback who can do that, but then...
All the best.
Maybe you create friction then because they're taking control.
This transitions into our next talking point, which is the first 2 weeks Manly have had. And you look at a guy like Luke Brooks, who is completely okay, and I said it in another one with... Todd Carney and Mitch Pearce today, a Footy Talk episode. It looks like Luke Brooks is quite happy to be the number three seed behind DCE and Tom Trbojevic. Yeah. So Tom comes into the middle of the field when he wants to and says, no, I'm taking a dummy half run or a first receiver hit up. DCE floats about and gets the ball. Luke now is quite comfortable and playing very good football doing that. Whereas opposed to you look at South and you go, well, where does Lachlan Elias see himself in the seedings of the alpha males who want the ball when things are going well? But Manly look to have got that balance really, really well, early doors ready. And it's only 2 weeks in and things can happen, but they look a well-balanced attacking unit at the moment.
I think it's been the perception of Luke for a long time that he doesn't enjoy having all the pressure on his shoulders and he prefers to just be that running six who can just tuck the ball under his arm and let everyone else organise things. And he just, when he gets the ball, he just plays what he sees, runs the ball if he has to, or pass if he thinks that's a better option. I think it's just, it's manifested itself at Manly. It's what we all thought and it's panned out exactly two games in as we all thought it would. You know, this bloke with all the pressure off him and would excel. And, you know, people at Manly will tell you, yeah, Daly's been great for him, but the guy who's been amazing for him is Tommy, because Tommy has a great football brain, right? I think people don't know how good a football brain Tommy has. And they say that, you know, Tommy's at the back directing Luke and telling him where to go and where to be. And then he's got that option off his shoulder of Tommy when he loops around. And Tommy's, you know, I think we all know how good a player he is, Tommy, but I don't think people appreciate how great a football brain he's got and what that does for the players around him.
Yeah,
I think that the role that Luke Brooks is playing at the moment for Manly really suits his personality. Like, I've heard tales from his time at the Tigers where, you know, he's not comfortable talking. He's not comfortable, you know, organising his players. And the cattle that he had at the Tigers over the years probably haven't been up to the same standard. He was the main man at the Tigers, the most costly in terms of financial player. So with the captaincy at times as well. So it's a lot to put on somebody. I think his role at Manly is simplified. It's not got the same level of responsibility. And he's also got some better players around him, which really, really suits him. There's some players that can be a team in and around the bottom and like drag them up. I don't think that was Luke Brooks, the player, or his personality type. But I think at Manly, obviously, like you say, he's got Cherry Evans pulling the strings. Like, his role at Manly is relatively simple. If he gets an opportunity, run. If not, he's got Kohler outside him, who's absolutely lightning.
He's pretty quick, that kid.
Yeah. And there was a great moment on the weekend where Roosters came up with an error over on not Brooks's side of the field. Manly regathered and he sensed the opportunity, and that's when he found his voice. But he's not, so he's still got that ability to demand the ball. He actually ends up getting the ball over to Lau, who goes over and scores off a turnover. But it's, if it's not for Luke Brooks demanding that football, you know, they probably don't get the try. But Brooks found his voice and got it. But I just think for Manly, with the complement of players they've got around, like, let's look at it, Manly as well. Like, if you're defending against them, you're expecting the ball to go to Olakau'atu's side, which they do a lot. So,
man,
you for opposition defenses. So if I was playing against the Tigers with Luke Brooks, I know he's the main man. So he's getting all my pressure, all my attention. Our game plan defensively is around, well, when Luke Brooks gets the ball, and watch out because he's a run threat. You know, and there's only so much information you can take on board. So he'd be the person that I'd be looking to negate. We're now at Manly. If I'm playing against Manly, you know, I'm thinking, well, I've got Cherry Evans. I've got to watch Olakau'atu. We've got Tom. Luke Brooks, to be fair, at Manly, is a bit of an afterthought. He's probably fifth or sixth in the pecking order. So he gets less attention, which I think, again, it helps anybody. But that's one of the other reasons as to why defences aren't as Luke Brooks-minded as what they once would have done at the Tigers versus now things at Manly.
It was funny, Jimmy. It helps when you've got good players around you, right?
Oh, man,
it always makes you look like a better player.
Yeah,
and man,
of course it does.
They've got so much talent. They've got so many points of attack. They can hurt you so many with different ways.
They're going to win the comp.
Paseka was enormous yesterday.
Literally,
he played.
He's a big human.
So well.
Yeah.
I felt so sorry for poor old Luke Keary yesterday. Triple M zone. Yeah. Just getting hammered by Hamoli Olakau'atu over and over and over again. Mm. He was dragging him. He kept putting his body in front of him.
He had no option.
He dragged himself
off. He couldn't jump out of the way.
But man, that kid, Hamoli's gone to another. If he doesn't play Origin this year, there's something going on.
Do you remember he started last season like this, and then we were having these very same conversations, weren't we? And then whether or not the noise got to him, and then he dipped, and
Well, he didn't have endurance in games. His last 10 minutes defensively of each half, because I obviously watch Manly closer than any other team, he would drop, he would be making mistakes. He would be the last one to get back on the line and come back off again. And it just wasn't quite there. The engine could be different this year. But one thing I really noticed yesterday, Jimmy, there was an incident where a Roosters player gave away a penalty, and Hamole of old would have got up and given him a massive shove and wanted to get in his grill. And you actually saw him. He went to go and push him, and then he went, oh, no, don't. He was telling himself not.
Bit it's of self-talk.
Like, bit of like maturity in that sense. So that could help. Just on the Roosters, your little mate Brandon,
What's he doing there?
Because I was thinking, why isn't Brandon, because he was given a lot of energy in the first half, out of dummy half, bit of spark, an early kick that nearly fell the Roosters' way. And then he played 12 minutes in the second half. I don't understand some rotations in some teams, and I certainly didn't understand this one.
No, I guess it surprised most people. I'm not going to question Trent Robinson, but perhaps he got just lost in the game.
Hmm.
And sometimes the interchange plan can be different. But I think if you look at the Roosters, that they're a far better team when Brandon Smith plays longer minutes and much more threatening.
And they had no momentum in the second half, Roosters, because defensively Manly obviously made it a plan to go after the Roosters' line and what tackles 1, 2, and 3.
To be fair, if Brandon Smith plays longer, I don't think the Roosters win anyway. Like they were disgraceful with the ball, and by their own admission, I think
they had 10 minutes in the second half. Manly had 90% of the ball.
Yeah, and in that
second half,
they just there was moments there where the Roosters, I've got to give them credit defensively, like their scramble, their effort plays were huge, and they repelled Manly. Manly really, it the game should have been put to bed, but the Roosters would have sustained pressure on themselves, finally get the ball back, huge sigh of relief, and then come up with an early error, and we're playing like, and this was still with plenty of time to go. They were playing far too expansive style of football for the situation. Like what was required is them to simplify and build their way back in, but they refused to do that. But I think, yes, Brandon Smith needs longer on the park, but would that have made a difference yesterday? I don't think it would have.
Manly didn't give him a sniff. And you know, it's like Manly in recent years, Adam, I reckon they've lacked a bit of resilience at times. Mm-hmm. You know, and there was a feeling yesterday if the Roosters scored, maybe Manly would feel a pinch. But, previously that would have been a feeling. I reckon the Roosters would have scored and Manly might have capitulated. Mm. But there was no sign of that yesterday. They never looked like folding Manly. Never looked like capitulating, I didn't think.
Speaking of which, in the game after it, Wayne Bennett can coach, Rudy.
Now, I never said he couldn't coach.
7 days ago, you sat here and
I just said,
told us all the coaches that have won comps since.
I asked the question of you guys. Has the game, maybe Christian Wolf coached him this week.
Already. No, hearing a couple of the comments from the players, Jesse Bromwich in the press conference, Herbie Farnworth on Fox, Wayne was a bit grumpy this week. It was a hard week.
Okay,
and I don't know if you know that, Jimmy, about what coaches of his ilk would do in response to a loss like that, but it sounds like a major attitude adjustment was asked of the playing group and heeded by the playing group smartly after Wayne perhaps told them a few truths that they perhaps didn't want to hear last Monday after their big first round loss.
Yeah, well, that attitude adjustment, we see it happen in sport all the time, and I'm sure Wayne was a big driver of the mood in the dressing room. First and foremost, those type of performances that they put in against the Cowboys are not acceptable, whoever the coach is. But with Wayne's message, he's got good word economy, Wayne. And when he speaks, he means it. So if he gives you the riot act or he's in a grumpy mood, you don't want that to continue. The best way to stop that is through performances. I thought the Dolphins were fantastic yesterday, and what epitomised their desperation and the change in attitude was the try save on Tyrell Sloan just before full time, where Tubby Waifido has come across. Sloan looks like he's going in for a consolation try for the Dragons, and Fido just said, nah, I'm not going to have that. So They face some adversity as well, the Dolphins, with HIAs, and they fought back. I thought they were outstanding. The Dragons have got a few questions to ask, but yep. And again, it's funny what a week.
What a difference a week makes in
sport. You know, you go from the Dragons, who were this time last week, we were flying high, and Woodsy was saying Lomax was going to play State of Origin, and the Dolphins, well, they're looking at the spoon, and then, yeah, it's completely flipped on its head.
Reedy, we've seen new Dragons possibilities round one. Was that old Dragons lingering in the air round two? Which one are we going to cop going forward? That's a hard thing to work out. I think that was a little reminder
for Shane Flanagan about how big a job he's got to turn them round, because that was, look, I only listened to the game on the radio. I didn't see it, but I watched the highlights when I got home, and some of the tries were just, it was wafer-thin defence.
Mm-hmm.
They were just terrible. So I think it just shows how big a job he's got, Shane Flanagan. I think maybe last week was a bit of a false dawn, and some of the old habits returned, and, you know, he's going to do a Wayne Bennett on them this week, I imagine. He's going to flog them and try to build that resilience back up. But they got a big job. People were dreaming if they were suggesting that club is back up based on week one performance. They're a long way off.
Yeah, and look, sport is fascinating, and you can fall in love with yourself a little bit. But I think the attitude of the Dragons players, contrast that with their round one victory, was totally different. Mm. And you know, you can fall into that trap a little bit of, oh well, if we went up and beat the Gold Coast, we weren't fancied, we did the job, and oh, we're favourites against the Dolphins. Look at what they, if they play like, well, you prepare for the Dolphins that played the Cowboys, and you fall into that trap. But obviously at this level, they should have been expecting the Dolphins to turn it around. And I don't know if they were quite ready for that level of performance. And I think it showed they looked in shell shock. And some of the tries, the short balls through the middle, it can just be a lack of focus sometimes. You can look at it technically, but the players know what to do, but it makes it look easy or soft, but it's just people jumping out of systems. That's all it is, which is a lack of focus.
What about the turnaround, the hammer? He was horrible week one. Mm. Somehow he's still got one Dally in point. I don't know how.
Who was on those?
You're joking.
No, he got a Dally in point week one. In week one.
In the Dolphins v. Cowboys game.
He got one Dally in point.
No, he didn't.
Yes, he did. But what about this week? He got five. He should have got all six. So he's evened out over 2 weeks. The Dally in points are evened out.
I'm with you.
You know, you got a point. Yeah, week one. Yeah. It's insane.
Is that a media representative voting for that one?
They don't tell you anymore. You don't know who they are.
Man, they got absolutely,
I know,
hammered.
But he only got five. He only got five this week, Jimmy. So it's all evened out in the stretch.
So one judge has given him 3 points and another judge has given him two.
This week.
I wonder who the other judge give. Do we know who the...
No, we don't know who they are, no.
No, no, but do we know who got the other 3 points?
You could probably work it out mathematically. I didn't go through it.
Yeah.
Well, you just know what you know.
Yeah.
You just know what you know.
But the good thing is it's evened out. He probably should have got six this week. He only got five. He should have got none last week. He got one. So he's got six overall. So they nailed it, the Hedalian judges. Well done.
Wow. That is...
Are you looking up who...
I'm trying to look. I want to know who voted. I don't think they tell you anymore who votes.
No, it's all secret.
It's a secret.
Are you on the panel, Jim?
It's a secret. So
Masonic Club, isn't it? You can't mention what you do or who you are.
Stonecutters.
Steve Guttenberg from The Simpsons. Hey, Tigers. What? What out of that in Canberra, Tigers? First thing that comes to your head?
Galvin was good.
Was all right?
They were better. They were better this year than they have been in previous years. I think when the Raiders got off to a 12-0 start, I thought, oh dear.
Yeah.
This could be ugly, but they fought their way back into it. I think Canberra had a couple of injuries and sort of took the foot off the gas in the last 15 minutes, but the Tigers in previous years have crumbled, and they stayed in the fight. There's a couple of issues there. The try that Canberra scored off the tap spoke to Ricky Stewart yesterday. He said that that was a play designed for that team, which is an area of which is, you know, concerning. I look at the game and I used to do off a kickoff, look for the opportunity to try and put the winger away because it's a trend in the game where halfbacks will stand on the wing at set restarts, like
what
a tap
Sullivan
penalty,
yep.
And they just think they're there, they're not going to make a tackle. So we see those opportunities present themselves. It's just, well, you could argue it's high risk, high reward because you flirt with the sideline, don't you? But Canberra pulled it off brilliantly. Look for the Tigers and Benji. He was in the press a lot last week around his methods. Part of me wondered, was that to copy the Wayne Bennett model of making it about him and not about the Tigers? Because that is the conversation. We're not actually, you know, in the build-up, we weren't talking about the Tigers. Even in the aftermath, a lot of the talk has been about Benji. So he deflects by design or by accident. I don't quite know.
Was it all out of an opinion article by Dean Ritchie?
Yeah,
it got
was.
Some
I don't think it was designed. I don't think Benji.
Not by yeah.
I don't think it was by design. Yeah. I don't think Benji was really happy with the
then
article.
He did an interview with Andrew Webster, which was pre-planned, that appeared in the paper on Saturday, and it kind of danced around the topic, but didn't go
well, I think
into
it was
pre-
he'd done that interview pre.
That's what I'm saying.
The
story.
So I don't think it was. But look, I don't think it was all doom and gloom at all for West Tigers fans. I mean, Lachie Galvin was outstanding. His first game. Well, outstanding for an 18-year-old who's playing his first game of rugby, first game of NRL, sorry. They got an issue in the halves, right? I mean, Sullivan obviously got hooked after about 30 minutes
or so.
I don't
like Caesar on the bench.
Yeah, but I spoke to Benji about that, Jimmy, and he said the reason he was on the bench was he'd had a hamstring injury in the preseason.
Caesar had,
and he wasn't 100% fit. So he took him into the game. Basically, he was going to use him at some point. He didn't think he'd last the 80 minutes. So he took him on the bench if he didn't have to use him, he wouldn't have. But if he needed to use him, he was there. But he didn't think he'd be able to handle 80 minutes given his limited preseason.
Well,
I think he'll be in this week, right? I think Sullivan will be out. He'll be in.
Well,
because he got through all right.
You justify your bench selections, obviously. But I just don't know if that does much for the confidence of Sullivan when he's on there. I know some teams, you know, Queensland will run with a half on the bench, but usually, typically, they're looking to bring them on in at nine, in at lock. You use your best players. I just don't know if that was the right course of action.
I would have thought he was probably on there more as insurance in case Lachie Galvin didn't aim up. And then, obviously, Galvin did. And
but, you know, if you're,
Sullivan
if you're Galvin and Sullivan, you'll just...
You're anticipating
the failure during the game where... I guess young halfbacks, you know, get the 80 minutes out of the way and let's deal with it after, rather than having like if you look at Caesar, the type of player that he is, he can only play in the halves. He can only play seven. He's not coming on to, you know, take over from give Appy a spell. Like
he did say Benji after it, he wanted a bit more control about what they were doing with the ball, and that's why he brought on Caesar. So yeah, see how that pans out. By the way, it was Herbie Farmworth who took some points off Hammer. He got 3 points for his display, and that's why Hammer only ended up with 5.
There you go.
It's still a pretty good return.
Yeah, not
Nico
bad.
Hines leads. He's got 12 points after two rounds. So for the Sharkies, who were good, and they've adjusted their style a little bit. Was that?
Interesting.
Okay. He is a judge.
I would have thought.
He watches every game.
He is a judge.
I would have given three points to Teague
Wilton would have got three.
Nico's a darling, mate. He always gets the votes, Nico.
Yeah.
They love him.
Still,
they love him. He was good.
I thought Teague
The doggies were good in that game.
They were.
You were doggies? So they had a red hot go.
Yeah.
Defended really well.
With a great try save as well. How good's that?
Well, it was a correct decision there, Jimmy.
Yeah.
You don't think so?
Well, look, I understand
he wasn't going to stop kick out. We all know that's the rules.
So it is the rules. And our game, you could argue, needs less grey area, more black and white. So it's definitive. We don't argue, but you could also make a very strong point for the game needs more common sense and reality, which the reality of the situation is Trindle is not stopping Viliami kick out. You could run that simulation a billion times over.
The ball
you
out
could
of
have
something.
A quantum physicist, quantum mechanic computer running that simulation. An infinite, you know, the old simulation. If you have an infinite amount of monkeys with an infinite amount of typewriters, they will write the complete works of Shakespeare, and they won't just do it once, they'll do it an infinite number of times. It defines infinity. Well, if you run the simulation of Trindle versus Kickout an infinite number of times,
longer than that,
Trindle doesn't make the tackle once.
He's more likely to recite Shakespeare than making that tackle. Reedy, WTF, have you got something?
Oh, yeah. You know what? I was watching the golf this morning, Adam, because I love the golf. The Players' Championship, it's like the fifth major, they call it, I think. Yeah, the Players' Championship.
Well, since all the live guys nicked off, it's not quite that. But
about, so it was won by Scotty Scheffler, who's a gun.
Yep.
But what about Wyndham Clark? Mm-hmm. He's got a putt at the 72nd hole to put it in a playoff. It was a great putt. Slightly too hard. Horseshoes around the hole, stays out.
Well, it literally goes almost in the hole and then out.
You know how much money that cost him?
No.
2.5 million US, that putt. It was $4.5 million. It was $4.5 million of the winner, $2 million to second. We ended up being a share of second place.
So a two-bedroom unit in Bondi, that's what it's costing.
$2.5 million US. And he lipped out. We horseshoed out. Oh, my unbelievable.
Goodness. Maybe golf needs to like change the rules. You know how like the corner post used to be like out? Maybe golf needs to say, well, if you rim the hole,
tilt the edges. Yeah.
If you're in that example, well, I've seen it. And if it rims, it's in. It's like these fast finishing wingers, mate.
It did sort of dropped in and came in.
People don't like change, Adam. And I think if you brought that in, there'd be uproar to begin, and then it'd just be part of it, and they'd be talking back in 10 years, you know? Back in my day, that wouldn't have been there, but thankfully it is today.
I was happy with the corner post rule change. I'd be filthy with this one, with
two
the golf hole.
US,
I'd be filthy if I was Wyndham Clark, but yeah, he'll get on with life. The obvious WTF moment was the Xavier Coates defying the laws of physics. Xavier.
Well, I've got another example.
It's incredible. Have you got a WTF?
Yes, I do. It's from that game. Jerome Hughes facing a suspension for pushing the referee, shoving the referee, making contact with the referee.
That's an image suspension. That's not a...
Perplexed.
Yeah. That's a fine.
But again, I spoke black and white. We need less grey.
Yeah.
But we need common sense. And the common
sense
argument says, what on earth is Jerome Hughes supposed to do?
Well, one thing it hasn't been really delved into is the fact that the referee was horribly out of position. Now, players are horribly out of position and get punished. Yep. The ref was, I know it was a quick play and things happen quickly, but he was not where he was supposed to be, unfortunately.
No.
It's been a bit of that this year, hasn't it?
It's hard. But
the kick out try.
It's hard to... It's hard for these guys, I get
They've got so much going on in their heads now. They've got downtowns. They've got...
Yeah. Which is a good
blockers. They've got the bunker in their ear. No wonder. I wouldn't know where to stand either.
But I'm with you. I think fine would have been suffice there. Not a game suspension for Jerome Hughes.
Not even a fine. Like what? Yeah. Like realistically, what is he supposed to do? And it happens so quickly. You just in that moment, get out the way. I'm going over here. Sorry, sir. That you know what it needs? Sorry about that, sir. I was just trying to do my job.
Yeah. Yeah, no worries, mate. Move on with life. Marshall King is my WTF.
Oh,
the atomic falcon to the head from Ben Hunt. But then he gets cleared to play. I don't know how. He was out.
There was probably
boxer
enough there for a
jaw gone.
The cat one where I don't think you can return.
Oh,
there was probably, you know, if you were looking at it from a medical standpoint and what's a cat one and what's a cat two. I can't remember which way round it is now, but whichever is the one where no matter what,
you're gone.
Cat one, you're gone.
Yeah, well, I think there was enough there for it to be a cat one.
Anyway, extraordinary. Extraordinary. Reedy, your mail. What do you got in your bag this week?
Well, we were going to talk about the deep dive we did on Sunday.
Good work, Reedy. It was an interesting read.
Did you find it interesting?
I found it interesting.
You know what I took out of it? Most clubs... 90% of the clubs are flying for an
answer.
You
go back 10 years and no way in the world you've got that. But it seems clubs have got into their heads, diversify your financial interests. And the ones that are doing that, and it's easy for leagues clubs, behemoth like Panthers Group, who own freaking more clubs than Tiger Woods, but they're buying assets,
yes.
and that is propping up their well, the Roosters, and it's not just poker machine
the
money.
The Roosters are the obvious example, eh? Petrol stations, post offices, and they've been building that for quite some time.
I didn't know there was money in post offices.
Post offices. Yeah. Well, I think they own the building. I don't know if they actually own the post.
Isn't the post office a government?
No, but they actually own the real estate.
They own the building.
They're buying real estate.
So, you don't, doesn't necessarily have to be a
you
post
don't own
office.
Stamps.
Actually, where I grew up, the post office, it's now changed to a bar. It's called the old post office.
That's what the bar's called.
That's what it's called.
Mm. Oh, clever.
I wouldn't go in there, though.
but there's not many clubs now that financially aren't flying.
Yeah.
Probably the one that's still sort of battling a bit is Manly to an extent. They borrowed a lot of money off the Penn family and that money's in their accounts.
You can
see they've borrowed over like $20 million off the Penn family over the last whoever long the Penns have had.
I was going to say, is it hard to find out this info?
No, they file their accounts every year and it's in their account. I mean, they're a bit behind.
Yeah.
But I think the last accounts I looked at for Manly was maybe a year ago, 2 years ago.
Well,
at that point, they were... I think it was 20. You could see that they borrowed about $20 million off the Pens and that money was getting paid back. But they made a profit that year as well. I think it was over $1 million profit that year they made. And that's why they're working so hard to get a new stadium there, because you talk to people at Parramatta about what CommBank has meant to them in terms of their revenue. It's like quadrupled. Their game day revenues quadrupled because they've got a brand new stadium with a lot more corporates.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why Manly are working so hard to get a new stadium, because if they can do that, suddenly their match day revenue goes through the roof.
Yep.
And they're not making $1 million a year. They'll be making $3-4 million a year.
Yeah.
So
I mean,
it's hard
to lose money these days because of basically your footy costs. Pretty much covered, are they not, from the NRL grant?
Your cap's covered, basically. So you get all your payments plus $5 million.
Yeah.
So, there's no excuse for not making money now.
Just
every club should
be
making
Bitcoin.
Money.
Smart thing to do.
Not this week, Jimmy. Hasn't been a good week. I was flying a week ago.
Imagine that. That would be a great write-up. One of these guys, they put it all in one of the random cryptocurrencies like this, like that. Mate, that could be
honestly
a big play. Like, imagine that.
Didn't the cheese get paid by someone in who was that? He was doing work for, and he got paid in Bitcoin.
I don't know. That'd be
a
great.
Long time ago.
Tony Mestroff, Manly CEO, meets with the Penn family. You know that $20 million we owe you, right? Mm. Can I borrow one more? And I'm just gonna load it into this
Dogecoin.
Yeah, yeah. We'll pay it back and we'll make the profit.
Mate, you were looking good a week ago if you'd invested in it.
Yeah, so, a week's a long time in sport. A minute's a long time in cryptocurrency. So with your club's flying financially, did you take any obviously the Manly were at the bottom of the pile.
Yeah.
Did you get any flack for that? Because you obviously, everybody pays
attention. Someone said something to me at the game on Sunday. Not bad for a club that's battling, they said. But I said, it's all good.
Isn't it funny how they take
things
so personally?
They take everything personally. Yes. Yeah. And the person who said it to me is not even, it's not an owner. It wasn't an owner of the football club. It was just an official.
Little thinking.
Yeah.
It is funny. Like, well, that's, you're talking about the Latrell thing. That's sport. We're passionate in the playing. Yeah.
People are so
media,
invested in
it. Fans, like, it's how dare you write something factual about my club?
We didn't even say that. We didn't even bag them. We basically said, they exist on the smell of an oily rag for a long time, but things are changing now. Now they're making profits. And
how dare you write the truth?
Yes,
really?
Mate. We're just a bunch of battlers,
and we only gave them $3 signs. The best club's got five. They only got three.
The Roosters, you almost ran off the page with Uncle Nick. Anyway,
But no, it's interesting that there's a lot of money in rugby league now. Hell of a lot of money in the game. But it's funny when you've just been to Vegas and you see how much money's in sport over there, and you read about Wyndham Clark ripping up $2.5 million.
Worldwide Premier League. You look at NBA franchises, NFL franchises are the standard bearers, but how much these clubs are worth and who's willing to invest now, it seems like the thing of the day to invest in sporting teams at the moment.
Well, it's funny, even just hearing Reedy speak about Manly's ambitions and goal for a new stadium, and like how much sport has become a business. it's driven by passion, but it is a business now. And yesterday called the game at Manly, and you know, the hill was packed for about an hour before kickoff because people are desperate to get this spot on the hill. And obviously if you've got a ticketed seat or in your corporate box,
yeah,
you turn up, you know, 5 minutes before kickoff, yeah, or wander in after it, who cares? But you know,
the flash new stand at the end of the hill, at the end of the ground, yeah, that was basically empty until about 10 minutes before kickoff.
Yeah, and that's something that, I don't know, we've gone past the point. I think sports sold its soul, but just do we look to try and keep it? Like I work at the Bulldogs and love the games at Belmore, but from a business point of view, they lose money by having a game at Belmore.
Take a bath.
Whoever plays there, even if it's sold out, it costs the club to play at Belmore, where you know you play at a core, which you know isn't going to be anywhere near sold out, and all the trials and tribulations that come with it. But from a business point of view,
yeah,
it ticks way more boxes. And you know, thinking of Manly and the Brookvale, the tradition, the hill, like you know, it's an interesting one. Like where we go.
Well, I think that hill as a sport, if they get what they want to get, that hill will be on.
Yeah.
It'll be fully enclosed, 20,000 seater, and there'll be no hill anymore.
Yeah, I grew up on that hill. And it's like, I can see why they'd need to get rid of it, to bring it, but it's going to be a sad day.
And it's sentimental, because it's sentimental as well a lot of your fans that have been, doesn't matter who the owner is, doesn't matter who the players are, doesn't matter the coaching staff, the Haslow years, leaving, the heartbreak, Cherry Evans signing for Titans and then back for, doesn't matter. They're there till the day that they die, and there's memories on those hills. And I even thinking back to my time at St. Helens, like I grew up watching them sitting on the fence, and where I grew up and where I made my debut, and all it's a housing estate now. And you're like, ooh.
Yeah.
But we've sold our soul as a sport. Well, sport has sold its soul for business and I guess it's something we can all look forward to at Manly, a new shiny stadium.
Did you slide down the hill on cardboard back in the day?
Oh, I did.
Because you know the back of the hill, it's very steep. You get the old cardboard and slide down.
That's
there.
That's brilliant.
A couple of big stacks.
Did you really?
Big stacks on the back of a case of Tui's Extra Dry. Just someone had brought snuck it in somehow. And you get the cardboard and you go down and you're getting at a rapid pace towards the end of that little ride. So anyway.
Good.
Anything else in your mailbag?
Oh, just a bit of contract news. Remus Smith, who threw that pass for Xavier Coates on Saturday night.
Yep.
When was it game?
Saturday night.
Yeah, forgotten. He's off contract actually at the moment, and the club's basically said to Remus, we want to see how you go early in the year, and then we'll make a decision about a contract beyond this year. I think it's getting to the point where they're going to sit down with him, but based on what they've seen early in the season, I'd be surprised if there's not at least an offer for Remus Smith from the Storm, and then he'll have a decision to make about what he does, and whether he stays there or moves on. And Stafford Toa needs surgery at the Tigers. So I think he's done one of those syndesmosis, needs some tightrope surgery, much like I think Helam Lukey's got the same issue up at the Cowboys.
He's gone 8 weeks, is he?
Yeah, so that's basically what they're looking at. So a bit of a blow for Benji, because Stafford Toa's been a pretty good player. Oh, and Fisher Harris, I think he's okay. It was a shoulder problem with Fisher Harris, but they're saying it's not too bad from what I heard.
What's
today,
not too bad then? A week or two? Or
that bit I don't know. It's not long term, put it that way.
If that's long term, that's a bullet dodge for Penrith. How important is he? The only prop to win a golden boot?
Very important. Mind you, Moses Leota's not a bad guy to take the full reins. That try that he scored on Friday night was...
Yeah, you ever score a try like that, Jimmy, or what?
I've scored a couple better, actually, really.
What was the furthest you ever ran for a try?
Oh, like 100 metres in under eights. I've scored a better try in under eights.
Oh, no, I'm talking in your Super League professional career.
Yeah, when you were getting paid to play football. Yes.
Like how I remembered the try or how
what actually happened.
If you were to watch it on video.
Reality and common sense.
Mate, yes.
What have been talked about.
I'm all about grey areas. And from where I was standing, I thought I caught the ball on the 40, beat five players and went over. But when you watch it back, it's funny how
the dummy from dummy half and burrow over.
A ricochet of a kick and it lands in your arms and you carry on like... you've won the World Cup.
Actually, you know what's intriguing about the South Sydney scenario? I know we moved on from this. Yeah. But did you see who's top of Super League at the moment?
Warrington.
Coached by?
Sam Burgess.
Burgess.
Yeah,
just a little tidbit.
Interesting. Wayne and Sam to take over next year.
Anyway.
Dead air.
JD might win on Friday and we'll all move on.
Coach of the year. That's the Monday Scrum for this week. Ready? Have a good one.
Cheers.
See you on 360 tonight.
Yep.
Look forward to it. And James, look forward to hearing what else you got for buy round this week. Who else are you going to rifle down?
Keep our cards close to our chest.
Good stuff. Have a good week, everyone. Triple M Footy lives on Listener, thanks to McDonald's and Ream Hot Water.